Aloha kākou, valina kākou. Greetings, everyone. My name is Dr. Kehaulani Kawanui, and I'm your host on Indigenous Politics from Native New England and Beyond. This program features the political and cultural struggles of Native American and other Indigenous peoples. On today's show, I will be speaking with Brandon Sazu Sr., chairman of the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. He will join us by telephone from the Crow Creek Sioux Reservation in South Dakota. We'll bring him on the line soon, but first I want to let listeners know that this show is produced in the studios of WESU in Middletown, Connecticut. This location is known as Mattabesset, the traditional homeland of the Wangunk Indian Tribe. Indigenous Politics is also heard on select Pacifica affiliate stations, including WNJR in Washington, Pennsylvania, WETXLP, the Independent Voice of Appalachia, which broadcasts throughout the Tri-Cities region of East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, and Northwest North Carolina, WBCRLP in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, and WPKN in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Montauk, New York. From wherever you are listening, I can receive emails with your feedback on the program. My email address is indigenouspolitics@wesufm.org. Again, that's indigenouspolitics@wesufm.org. And for those wanting to catch up on past episodes of Indigenous Politics, you can check out the program archives online and listen via podcast or at your leisure from your computer. The website is indigenouspolitics.com, where we have 6 seasons of programming. Now to get to today's show. On December 3, 2009, Indian News reported that the IRS seized and auctioned off 7,100 acres of Crow Creek Sioux tribal land. That land was owned by Crow Creek Tribal Farms Incorporated, a tribal corporation that is distinct from the Crow Creek Sioux tribe. The IRS claims that it auctioned the land to recover over $3 million in unpaid employment taxes. The Crow Creek Sioux tribe claims that they were given erroneous tax advice received from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and therefore became delinquent in the payment of these taxes beginning in 2003. However, from what I understand, the tribal chairman is contesting the requirement that they even need to pay taxes in the first place, and he's making that claim based on sovereignty of the tribe. I want to let listeners know that tribes typically are not subject to federal taxes, but there are exceptions to that rule for business entities associated with tribes, such as casinos. Now, the Crow Creek land was being used by Crow Creek Tribal Farms Incorporated, which is not a casino. And the tax issues for businesses are very complicated in terms of the federal guidelines. And for more information, listeners, I noticed that the IRS has a section on their website called the Tax Status of Tribes, which has many links to frequently asked questions and provides numerous and, from my perspective, very convoluted revenue codes for tribes. But there's also the Native American Tax Policy Project, which is based at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, within their School of Business and Public Administration, which gives a brief history on the taxation of tribal nations and has a specific section that actually does deal with employment taxes, excise taxes, wagering taxes, and give some history about the tax codes and how they changed after the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 passed by Congress, when that legislation allowed for a division of functions in which governments of tribes could be conducted separately from tribal business corporations. Now, let's bring our guest on the line. Chairman Brandon Sazu, are you on the line?
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us on Indigenous Politics from Native New England and Beyond. I know right now you're in the midst of a land occupation or reclaiming your land, and that you are speaking to us from a trailer in sub-degree temperatures. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for taking time to explain to us. I want to share with our listeners what's been going on, the crisis at Crow Creek land. But before I dive into the issue of the Internal Revenue Service auctioning off the tribal land, I want to first just ask if you could tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be tribal chairman at the age of 36.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but to make a long story short, December 22nd, I turned 36. In May 6, 2008, I was sworn into office. I used to be a high school dropout. I went back at 20, turning 21, finished 3.5 years in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had a long history of there. When I put my mind to something, I do it.
All
so
right.
I believe the people have seen that in me and believe that I can make a difference, and I believe I can make a difference also.
Yes. And you grew up on the reservation, right?
Yes, all my life.
Now, could you please start by telling us what happened on December 3rd, 2009, when the IRS took the land and auctioned it off?
On December 3rd, 2009, the IRS came in and had an auction and sold our land for $2.6 million. Our land was recently appraised at $4.6 million, and they sold it for $2 million less. And we have 180 days from December 3rd to come up with the money to pay our taxes and to pay an extra 20% on top of that to get our land back.
Mm. And that 20% is a penalty, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So basically, what is the status now? How long have you been at the site?
Well, I've been up there. I haven't been up there for maybe about, I want to say a week now because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's prime wind energy land, and you could feel the wind up there. I mean, it just, because of the weather and way snow is, it drifts over the road. It's just been drifting over the road, and the weather has just been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bad call on Christmas Day, you know, about 6 o'clock in the evening. My generator started shutting off, and there was no way I was going to stay there. So I went out and jumped in my vehicle, and I couldn't see a thing. It was dark out, and I got lost twice in the field. I barely made it to the highway and drove 14 miles, about 5 miles an hour all the way.
I see.
So I had a bad call with the weather, and I'm not going to subject myself to that. Every time it snows, it scares the heck out of me.
Right. And that's a huge reservation, isn't it? Could you tell us a little bit about the size as well?
Well, from one side to the other, from one district to the other, it's, I want to say, a little over 50 miles.
And now, to go back to that auction, this land was auctioned to a non-Indian, right?
Yes.
Now, is it true that although the auction occurred, no land is to change hands until sometime after the March court date?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the court date about exactly? I have that from Indian News reported that that's March 29th and 30th in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Yes. The judge will hear both sides, IRS and Crow Creek.
I see. Now, how did this all happen, right? How did this take place? How is it that the IRS can take tribal land? I understand that the land is owned by Crow Creek Tribal Farms Incorporated, which is a tribal corporation. But for our listeners that might be unfamiliar with how tribal businesses can be seen as legally distinct entities from tribal governments, could you give us some background information as you tell the story?
Yes, it all started probably back in year 2000. In the year 2000, back then, the council tried to put the land in trust, but I don't know what happened and why the land never got put back into trust. So then we go on from not paying payroll taxes somewhere for a period of time. So from that time up until now, the IRS has been levying our accounts, holding council members personally responsible, and levying their income tax refunds. So for almost 9 years now, 17 to 20 council members have had their income tax taken away from them. Our accounts levied for whatever we got in our accounts, you know, just causing a lot of irreparable harm to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to stop at nothing, you know. Some of the things that have been happening to us, you know, are some from sources not associated with tax revenues. Some examples include the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer contracts, third-party billing ambulance program, EPA draws have been reduced, wildlife revenue from license sales. Some of this revenue is derived from trust land, BIA lease payments for tribal buildings. Water and sewer payments are uncollectible for the tribe because of offsets at the treasury.
And so the IRS, you're saying, has continually seized the tribe's bank account assets?
Yes.
In the quest to get these unpaid taxes.
Yes, and that we can look at it, from our perspective. You know, they come in and they say, well, you haven't paid your taxes. Well, they'll come in, levy our accounts, take whatever's in there. Then they'll come back at us and say, well, we're going to give you penalties and interest because you haven't paid the taxes. Well, you just levied our accounts, took everything we got. Then you put penalties and interest on us because we can't pay the taxes. How can we pay the taxes when you come in and levied our accounts?
Mm-hmm. Now, the amount of land that they auctioned off was 7,100 acres?
7,112 acres.
I see. And that's an attempt to get recover over $3 million in supposedly unpaid employment taxes. Is that right?
Yes.
Could you explain what happened in terms of the unemployment taxes? What is it that they're after? And how did the Bureau of Indian Affairs play a role in all of this?
Well, sometime way back when, I believe they had some guy from the BIA overlooking the finances. And to my knowledge, I was probably, in high school or maybe junior high back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what transpired back then, but it's a big mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously something happened.
The news report said that part of this was that the Bureau of Indian Affairs has said that because the tribe is federally recognized, it was unnecessary to pay federal employment taxes. And I got curious about that and started to look online at the IRS tax code for Indian tribes, and it's very convoluted. There's many different types of scales in terms of what tribes are expected to pay. So I encourage listeners that want to learn more, if you were to Google federally recognized tribes and taxes and take a look at it, it is very convoluted in terms of what tribal corporations are supposed to be paying.
Yes. And you know, and one of the things I found, not very many people read the Constitution every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found, you know, Amendment 14, Citizenship Rights, Section 2, excluding Indians not taxed.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I go back to something? You said that it's unclear what happened 9 years ago, and is that because you're after sort of getting documentation and a paper trail within tribal governance itself?
It kind of varies on a lot of things. As chairman, you're kept busy 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a 24/7 job. Right now, with me sitting at the site, I keep in contact with the council. They're aware of what I'm doing, you know, and they're fighting on the forefront, and I'm fighting on the other front. So just kind of in between, we don't have a lot of time to talk to each other, to negotiate with each other, to let me know what's really going on, because we go off on a lot of different subjects. There's a lot of different things we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we are meeting with a lawyer earlier tomorrow morning sometime.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So we'll lay everything out on the line then.
And do you feel supported by the tribal council for your actions being out there on the land?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned, too, I want to go back to this issue of how the tribe has historically in the 90s had to buy back a lot of its land. I read that that was land that had been taken from the tribe back then in violation of the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. Could you speak to that in terms of what it is that happened with the land? I understand that the tribe was trying to enlarge the reservation and consolidate by reclaiming those lands.
Yes, back in, I believe, 98, we had the $27.5 million off the Big Bend Dam built here for hydroelectric power. Back when they built it in the 40s or early 50s, they flooded our bottom land. They flooded our home, doing away with the school, doing away with the hospital, and moved us up to higher ground. So this is where Fort Thompson resides today. Old Fort Thompson resides underwater right now.
Mm.
So because of that act, we got $27.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the kicker. We can only use the interest off it every year. I call that scraps.
Mm-hmm.
So with the interest off it, they bought back the land.
And you can only use the interest off of it because, what, is it held in trust?
It is held in trust, yes.
I see. Oh, my goodness. So it sounds like there's a structural setup here that's keeping the tribe impoverished.
Oh, yes, definitely.
What is the situation like with the average sort of tribal citizen demographic in terms of the poverty line, if you don't mind me asking? How poor are your citizens on the reservation? What is the status of life like for the average person at Crow Creek Sioux Reservation?
Well, it's just demeaning to everybody, you know. Like I always say, you know, United States is feeling the recession out there. We're not feeling it because we've been living it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's survival from day to day. I just been on a radio show a little while ago with the Power Hour with Joyce Riley. She called the Central Electric Company, who shuts our people off every month, even in freezing winter.
Mm-hmm.
They told her there's no people being shut off. Well, I just called somebody, and he's got 3 pages of people they're going to be shutting off today. So those are the things we have to put up with, constant lies from these bigger corporations around here that says nothing's going on around here. When we're living it, and yes, there is. There's a lot of things happening here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lack of transportation. You know, just a few nights ago, a guy came to my house. He was cold, you know, in the middle of the night.
Mm.
And I'm glad because of that radio station, there's so many people out there that do care and sent a lot of warm clothing. So I was able to dress him up in warm clothes.
Mm.
You know, it was just overwhelming to me. That's the type of society we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
Not one time has the treaties ever been followed. But yet we're sitting here and we're supposed to be making peace with the country.
Mm.
And we try and we try, but we never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it is sub-zero winter temperatures, right?
Yes.
So you're talking about the need for basics out there on the reservation, it sounds like.
Yes.
Can I go back then to this Fort Thompson issue with the Big Bend Dam created for hydroelectricity? Isn't it the case that Fort Thompson has the largest electricity substations in the United States?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, I just went up there the other day and was taking pictures of it. You've got transmission lines going north, east, south, and west. You've got transmission lines going through our buffalo pasture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are our sacred animals. Those are, you know, our relatives. And you got these big transmission lines going right through there, going right by our high school, going right through Fort Thompson. You know, and last week we talked about 50-year lease payments coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the dam, because of the transmission lines. They want to pay us $25,000 for the next 50 years.
Mm.
We told them, no way.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's all they want to pay?
That's all they want to pay for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Indian News reported that the tribe was promised a lifetime of free electricity. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that embedded in the actual act for Big Bend Dam?
Well, that's what we're looking for right now. But we do have elders from back from that time that still say that to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the electric company is turning off power due to non-payment, and people are freezing in an area where there's the largest electricity substation in the U.S.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that the land that was confiscated was recently appraised at $4.6 million, and I wanted to ask you, is that linked to the plans the tribe has had to develop wind power energy out there?
Yes, I believe it is.
Could you speak to that in terms of what that economic plan looked like at all in terms of trying to be self-sufficient?
Well, even with all this electricity from this hydroelectric dam and all these transmission lines, you know, that would be one of our major economic developments for the Crow Creek Sioux Indian Reservation, because it would bring in jobs, it would bring in economic development, it would bring in possible, again, free electricity for our people.
I see. And you mentioned, too, the fact that the U.S. is in a really deep recession and how people there on the reservation, you said that the fact that we're basically close to a depression hasn't really been felt because it hasn't really changed on the reservation. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, it hasn't changed at all.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that with regard to your case, law professor Robert Williams Jr. at Arizona State University was quoted in one of the newspaper reports as saying, quote, "The Obama administration is pressuring banks to ease up on their mortgage foreclosure policies for defaulting homeowners in the worst recession since the Depression. And here Obama's IRS is going after one of the poorest tribes in one of the poorest and economically hard-hit areas of the country," end quote. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes, you know, it's what I've learned in politics since getting in May of 2008. You can talk the talk, you know, tell your blue in the face. That's all that's said, that's all that's done, nothing happens. Until you actually walk the walk and remember what you were elected for. Remember what your heart said before you ran. Remember why you thought of running. You know, and then usually with politicians, when they're elected in, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama was elected not because of his color. He was elected because of his heart, because of the things he said. You know, and we as Indian tribes, we all believe him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we loved him. We all voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But it seems, you know, and I do realize he's only one person and he does have to deal with Congress. You know, but maybe all those officials in Congress need to understand why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was their forefathers that they so-called said they founded this country. They're the ones that made the treaties. Well, none of those people are alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't they upholding their forefathers' treaties that they made with us? That's all we've been trying to do, is uphold that.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot, because no one won't listen to us. And if they want something, they come and take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're really looking in the face of raw power here.
Yes.
Now, I want to just remind our listeners, too, that before Obama was elected, he gave a presentation before the National Congress of American Indians where he vowed that if elected, he would ensure that the U.S. government would honor all of its treaties with Indian nations. Let's listen to that excerpt. Now, listeners, you've just heard that was Obama again, his campaign speech before the National Congress of American Indians, vowing that if elected to respect and honor all treaties that the U.S. government has with Native nations. Chairman Sazu, I want to ask you, you're being held to a standard that you are in violation of paying IRS taxes, and the tribe claims that you were given bad tax advice from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is supposed to actually has a trust obligation to provide for the tribe's welfare, right?
Yes.
And that is when the Congress delegates its plenary power to the executive branch. And listeners, remember, the Bureau of Indian Affairs is housed under the U.S. Department of the Interior, which is part of the executive branch of government. Has the U.S. government actually upheld the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty that created this reservation in the first place?
No.
Could you speak to the abrogation of that treaty?
Okay. Well, you know, I got it sitting right here in front of me. Let me just read a little bit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, the United States pledged that the Great Sioux Reservation, including the Black Hills, would be set apart for the absolute and undisturbed use and occupation of the Sioux Nation. And the United States now solemnly agrees that no persons shall ever be permitted to pass over, settle upon, or reside in the territory described in this article. In the 1980 Supreme Court ruling regarding United States versus Sioux Nation 448 U.S. 371, Justice Harry Blackmun said, "A more ripe and rank case of illegal dealings may never be found in our history."
Mm. The government has, as I understand it, and I've looked at just some of the language, because there are several Fort Laramie treaties, right?
Yes.
In 1889, the government abrogated the treaty by also removing portions of it and selling it off as well, right?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier when the tribe went to reacquire the land when it had some of the money from the Big Bend Dam, that it was unclear whether the tribe was allowed to have that land held in trust by the federal government. Is that, could you clarify that?
Yes. Well, that's, I believe that's another big issue in Indian country. How long does it take to put land into trust?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it's been almost 9 years, and certainly it has never, for some reason, hasn't been in trust.
Mm-hmm. And listeners, the reason land into trust is so very important for any tribal nation is because the U.S. federal government does not allow tribes to assert jurisdiction over land that is not held in trust by the federal government. So it's a paradox. It's a contradiction. That is to say that the federal government won't let tribes exercise their sovereignty over their land unless it's under federal supervision. Now, Chairman Sazu, I want to ask you, what is your response to sort of maybe the average listener out there who's listening to this and says, look, you owe these taxes, you haven't paid them, now you're paying the price. What would your response be to somebody that just looks at it in that way alone?
Well, I believe, you know, some people out there are so misguided by history books. The history books are incorrect. They say Christopher Columbus discovered America, which in their minds is true. But we've been here since the beginning of time. We've been here before he discovered America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my answer to them would be, you drive through our reservations. You only see what you see on the news. You only see what you see in the history books. Come and stay here for a week. Stay mm-hmm. for a couple days. Live with the family and fully understand why we live this way. We do not choose to live this way.
Mm-hmm.
We did not choose to live on reservations. We did not choose to go through genocide. We did not choose to be put in prisoner of war camps. We did not choose for our women and children to be killed and raped. We did not choose for the army to come in and do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
We did not choose all these things. They came to us because of the land, because of the gold, because of the electricity, now because of the wind energy.
Mm-hmm. So this has to be looked at in the bigger historical context of dispossession.
Yes.
That is, taking from the tribe, appropriating land, forcing people into poverty, segregating people onto reservations.
Yes.
Now, I also wanted to ask you, are there families living on this part of the reservation, this land that was auctioned off?
Well, as of to my knowledge right now, I believe there are four people living on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe families. You know, and there is also cultural significance, as such as traditional medicine, sage, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I meant to ask you too earlier, is it true that the Crow Creek Tribal Farms Corporation filed for bankruptcy in May 2009?
Yes.
I would think that at least would have the IRS hold off before seizing land.
Yes, we held them off for a while, mm-hmm. but they came right back and took it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the bankruptcy deal was over with, they went and personally put up a letter that they were going to sell it on December 3rd. They hung it on the door of the council members' offices, and they personally sent me a certified letter.
Mm-hmm.
So that was more or less pushing it right back in our faces.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, what kind of support and forms of solidarity have you experienced throughout Indian country and from non-Native people as well?
Wow, it's just been overwhelming, you know, with the radio shows, the Power Hour, I got it right here in front of me. From the chairman of the Beaver Lake Cree Nation from Canada to Upper Sioux, Minnesota, to just all over the United States, you know. Boy, emails coming in from the Netherlands, from Berlin, Germany, from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting letters of support and solidarity from around the world, basically?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you've invited supporters and people from all nations to join you in the struggle there on the land?
Yes, I've invited anybody and everybody, if no matter what color you are, you know. It's happened to farmers. It happens to people, and you know, because of money, because of land, because of property,
mm-hmm.
they don't care who you are; they'll take it.
And you've had people visit to conduct prayer ceremonies as well, right?
Yes, I've had people from Upper Sioux, Minnesota, from Sisseton. I mean, it's been overwhelming, too. People coming up, having prayer ceremony with the pipe. The Dakota 38 riding for the 38 Native Americans, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, that were hung in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
The largest mass hanging in the United States history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I had the riders come up, and they came up, and... Man, that was an awesome sight. They circled my camp on horseback in the middle of winter about four times, and then we lit up a fire. Even that wouldn't keep it warm.
Mm-hmm. Right, and speaking of warmth, I just read in Indian Country today that there is a man who runs a traditional teepee service up in Seattle, Washington, who's trying to raise funds to bring a traditional teepee down your way.
Yes, his name is Gary LaPointe.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked with him on a few separate occasions. He's trying to raise enough money so he can bring down two teepees to set them up on the land to show solidarity.
Mm-hmm. And those would obviously provide warmth. These are huge structures that have quite a bit of insulation, I understand.
Yes, that would provide a lot of warmth.
Mm-hmm. I also read that there is a petition online that's titled Crow Creek Sioux Land is Not for Sale that's been created to address the Bureau of Indian Affairs, President Obama, the South Dakota Governor Rounds, and South Dakota Senators Tim Johnson and Senator Thune, as well as U.S. Representative Stephanie Herseth Sandlin. Who wrote that petition? Do you support that?
Yes, I do support it. And a lady by the name of Tamara from NDN News created this, you know, and it's just astronomical to read the names and the comments they have on her.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many people out there that care.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you, now I've been getting information about this case from Native news sources. Has the mainstream media there in South Dakota covered this? Because I might wonder, because I haven't seen this on, you know, the 6:30 evening news on NBC or CBS or ABC.
Well, that's kind of the local news, like Mitchell, South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Pierce, South Dakota, Rapid City, South Dakota. They've all covered it in their newspapers, but I've never seen anything on television. And I know a lot of people have been bombarding CNN, and I haven't really heard from CNN. So basically it's like they don't believe us.
I see.
That they'd rather talk about Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and about somebody's life who they have no business talking about in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they'd rather talk about that than talk about impoverished and wrongs being committed to the Native Americans.
That's right. Yeah, there's barely been any coverage even of the Cobell Trust case being negotiated with the Obama administration. There's just a total media whiteout.
Yes.
Listeners, we're going to take a break for some public service announcements, and we will be back momentarily with our guest, Chairman Brandon Sazu Jr., head of the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe.
My Lakota na ia waslo and mataha. I'm Lakota and I'm from Standing Rock.
And I've got asthma. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, I know that you do all that you can to help me. But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack, or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma. Please don't smoke in the house or the car, because secondhand smoke triggers my asthma attacks. If you put my teddy bear in the freezer, it will wipe out the dust mites. And if you dry off my rubber duckies and bath toys, you will get rid of mold, all the things that can cause an attack.
These are just a few of the many things you can do to help your child fight their asthma attacks. To discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. A public service message brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
My name is Florence AQ. For lunch today, I had grilled chicken and squash. I am Zuni Indian, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
My name is D. Dakota Denesosi. I turned the TV off and took my nieces and nephews for a walk. We saw two jackrabbits, an eagle, and zero cartoons. I'm from the Dene Nation, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
Science has proven that if we lose as little as 10 pounds by walking briskly for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and make healthier food choices, we can prevent diabetes.
My name is Barbara Akasakpuk Curtis. I'm losing weight and being more active. I am Alaskan Inupiaq Eskimo, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
For more information on how to prevent diabetes, talk to your healthcare provider. For free materials, call the National Diabetes Education Program at 1-800-438-5383 and ask for the power to prevent diabetes. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Today, many of the battles that we fight are in the courtroom for our sacred right of sovereignty, serene nation rise, Native American rights fund. I can make a change in the names of my ancestors so they didn't die in vain, but together, calling the tribes to action, one nation, can you imagine? Grandma once said our people will thrive, 500 years and we still survive. NARF, the Indian Wars never ended, the only changed venue to be continued.
Support the Native American Rights Fund. Visit NARF.org.
And we're back with our guest, Crow Creek Sioux Tribal Chairman Brandon Sazu Sr.
Just as we're wrapping up the interview, I want to ask you, you mentioned that the tribe has retained a lawyer and that the tribe's appeal court date is set for March 29th and 30th in Rapid City, South Dakota. What do you hope will be the actual outcome? Are you contesting the back taxes entirely, or are you saying that you would be willing to pay the taxes, but they should, you know, cut out the penalty with 20% interest? You know, what is your hope in terms of what do you think is the right solution in this case?
That we go there and we show the IRS, we don't owe you a thing. Look what you have done to us for almost 9 years. You have caused the most harm you can ever cause anybody. You are taking our sacred lands for some reason unknown other than taxes. How were we subject to taxes in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we're not going to sit by and let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We want to countersue them. We don't owe them not one penny.
Mm-hmm. You're pointing out the absurdity that the tribe should have to pay federal employment taxes in the first place.
Yes.
I see. I noticed, too, that there's an organization called Can Do that has been documenting these events so that listeners that want to follow this case can look for those. Do you have any information in terms of how they could access those links if they're interested in following? You're doing video updates online, right?
Yes. The guy's name is Eric Klein. He's out of California. He's just an awesome guy. You know, his heart is golden. The way you can get on his site is go to cando.org,
mm-hmm.
CANDO.org,
mm-hmm.
and type in Crow Creek.
And also, the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, that's the official name of your Native Nation, right?
Yes.
For people that wanted information about tribal government, they could Google that. Again, listeners, that's Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. I understand that each winter, and I've seen this for years, that isn't it the case that the tribe also does a clothes drive for warm clothes to be sent for anybody that is interested in sending donations?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned dressing somebody who was actually really freezing out there. I just want to mention that in terms of people who want to look, they can educate themselves online, obviously. In terms of concluding the interview, I want to invite you to say anything that you'd like our listeners to consider as we close out here.
Well, I'd just like to say that, you know, this has been going on for hundreds of years. It's always been going on, and, you know, it's about time. We're tired of it. We're tired of living like this. We don't want to live like this anymore, but it seems like we're forced to live like this all the way around. We got the dam, we got all these transmission lines, we got, you name it, it's here. But why are we still poor? That's the big question. And I just like to thank everybody out there for listening and just for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And thank you, Chairman Brendan Sazu, Sr., for joining us today on Indigenous Politics from Native New England and Beyond. We'll try and keep in touch with you, and I wish you the very best for the court date in March. Mahalo nui loa.
Goodbye, and thank you very much.
And again, that was Brendan Sazu, Sr., Chairman of the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. You've been listening to Indigenous Politics from Native New England and Beyond with your host, Kehaulani Kawanui. Listeners, if you have feedback on the program, you can write to me at indigenouspolitics@wesufm.org. And again, I want to remind you that all past episodes of Indigenous Politics are archived online, where you can listen via computer at your convenience. There's also a link to podcasting. And you can get to those shows by going to the website at indigenouspolitics.com. Thank you for tuning in. Mahalo.